Live wire. Beware. Live wire. Beware. Knowing that I'm very subject, except by the grace of God, to bronchitis, and speaking constantly, getting wet, my hair wet, my garments wet, having to go home, or often being stopped and talked to by thoughtless people after service, and I should be bundled in a coat and home as soon as possible, getting into dry clothes. One of my good members, one time, spent $100 on me by buying one of these grand, great big electric blankets. Did you ever see one of them? They cover a twin bed, just the one bed, and enough to come over the top of you also. Oh, I said, that's grand. My, when I get a chill after this now, and I feel cold, I'll just turn on that heat. Won't that be wonderful? So my secretary put it on the bed, and I went home Sunday night. I was very tired. I preached three times that day, and I preached twice on Saturday. I always preached at children's church Saturday afternoons. Prayed to the sick Saturday night. Father, when I thank the Lord, here's a lovely warm bed. That's just grand. And I don't know why it's wonderful here. I always sleep all alone, except for the puppy. He sleeps on the foot of the bed. But now I'll have a nice warm blanket to keep me warm, and that's just fine. So I turned it on. And I went sound asleep. About 2:30 in the morning, I thought a couple of Bengal tigers had jumped on me. Something happened, whether I perspired or what, and they hadn't thought to put a rubber inside of this in the sheet. They just put me in between the electric blanket itself, and it had shorted. And the electricity went through me, and I couldn't speak. And my heels were drawn close back to my head, and I started to say, help! But I couldn't get... I know now how people are electrocuted. I couldn't get another breath in. Just with what breath I was left, I could say, help! With what was left, I say, help! Help! My chest was crushing right into my lungs. It was a ghastly feeling. I thought, well, that's all right to die, but I began thinking about a preacher that was preaching against me right at that time. Said that healing was of the devil and so forth. I said, well, he'll say it was a judgment of the Lord. That went through my head. At a time like that, I thought, that's too bad to die and have him say that. And somewhere that I suppose by moving with this electric jerking me, the power snapped off a moment and it just shot me across the room. And I landed up bang against the door of the clothes press. And my secretary came running in and says, what's the matter? What's the matter? She was shaking all over. And I couldn't speak. All I could do, I was afraid she'd touch the mattress. I thought it was on fire or alive. All I could say was that. And I don't know why on earth that I insisted on being taken out and stood in my bare feet on the lawn. I had some idea that if I stand on the ground, that'd take the electricity out of me. I don't know what the world was in my mind. I'd been wakened up out of a sound sleep. But I had a severe burn. It didn't show that night, nor the next day, but a week later it was the size of a pin. Head and a month later the size of a dime, and a couple of months later the size of a quarter, and a little later the size of a half a dollar, and remained for a year, and then healed and filled in the flesh, was burned from the bone outward. So I know that if you get hold of a live wire, beware. Friends, God's power is a live wire, and these are live wire services. There are people here tonight who can testify and who have testified to marvelous healings. One woman told of the power of God, and now she got a hold of the power of God that healed her of two cancers on the face. Another sister, whose husband is a doctor of Fresno, told of dropping an iron on her feet, on her toes, and of the cancers that formed, how they were cut out and how they were burned out and so forth and grew back, and how the Lord healed her in answer to prayer. Another man told you of having been a drug addict for many, many years, and though all hope was despaired of it, but he was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ and instantaneously delivered and has been kept by the power of God. So there is a power. The great question is, how shall we draw nigh unto God? Can anyone come up and take hold of this live wire of God's power? Can you come with your sin? Can you come carelessly? Supposing... I wonder what sort of a load this wire I'm holding in my hand is carrying. It's just the line to the microphone. I don't happen to know how much electricity this carries. It's enough to knock me over the night I got hold of it and had a short in it at any rate. But can we just handle live wires carelessly? scrape off the insulation, and leave them about, no, we must come in a certain manner. And so, friends, we must come to God with a pure heart. Believe that he is. Lay hold of the promise, and he will not only save you, but listen here, Radio Land. If you think divine healing is just a freak, you're mistaken. Angela Temple has been open here 16 years, praying for the sick Wednesday afternoons and Saturday nights. These people, by the tens of thousands, have been healed, and you couldn't keep up anything that was fantastically unreal that long. You'd be found out. How many here have ever been healed? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Live wires are powerful. Oh, by the way, before I read the scriptures, did you happen to be here at Echo Park? Such interesting things happen right across the street from us. Or did you notice it in the newspaper or hear it on the radio as I happened to? One of our pelicans over here in the park took a notion to go for a walk and a little flight a few weeks ago. And, you know, they're rather clumsy birds. I've had some bad experiences with pelicans. I used to go fishing down in St. Petersburg, Florida, and every time I'd get a good fish on the hook, those old pelicans would dive and get the fish, and I'd have to pull the pelican up with the hook in his mouth and put my hand down his old beak and unhook it. No, I think they're a nuisance. But this pelican, I felt sorry for the pelican, too. But this pelican took off here across Glendale Boulevard, and he was flying along and having a good time when he suddenly hit the power line. I don't know whether it froze him or knocked him out or what it did, but it stopped every streetcar and it knocked everything out of commission all through this part of town. Just one pelican. And as the newspaper went on to describe how finally he got down to earth all right, the cars were all stalled, the automobiles were all stalled, and everything was out of commission. And he went honk, honk, honking his way back to the lake, very much disgusted with the world in general. It's a bad thing to come in a wrong way to live wires. Beware. So with the power of God. Now, with that introduction, Psalms 24:3-5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? You're coming up tonight to be healed. You're coming up to have the holy anointing oil laid upon you. You're going to ask the elders of the church and the pastor to lay their hands on your head. That doesn't mean anything. It is simply symbolic of the fact that you're asking Almighty God, the owner, the operator, the ruler, the motivating force of the universe, to lay his hand upon you. O man of Galilee, draw near and lay thy hands on me. In all this world I once brought thee. O wondrous man of Galilee. Think of it. When you come up here for healing, or when you stand out there, if you're not coming up to the anointed, you're asking Almighty God with a live wire of his Holy Ghost power that spins suns and moons and satellites and planets and tides and waves and storms to lay his hand on you. Then the connection should be right. This is a very wise question and a very intelligent one. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Again, Psalm 15:1-3. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, speaketh the truth. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Now, you can be healed just like that. That cancer can fall out. I know what I'm talking about. That tumor can go down like a balloon. That trouble of your eyes can be healed. Listen, who shall be healed? He that walketh uprightly. He that worketh righteously. He that speaketh the truth in his heart. Not just with your lips, but really from your heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. Do you think anybody that backbites should come up to be healed? I think they should get right. It says so right here, Psalm 15:1-3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. How many ever backbite? Just one man's honest enough to put his hand up. Nor doeth evil to his neighbor. Nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Exodus 20:5. I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God.
Lift your fire between the heart and head, neither with evil, nor endure it when it's against you.
That's right, brother. They're a god. Is all powerful. Good things come to us by earthly electricity, as it's been harnessed. The vacuum sweeper. Do you ever use a vacuum? The electric light. The icebox for preserving food. The radio. What a marvelous harnessing of electricity. The radio pad. The electric iron for ironing the wrinkles out. The electric fan to cool the heat. And the electric heater to warm ourselves. And yet, if we get a hold of these in the wrong way, dire things can happen. Dire things, indeed, can happen. For instance, one day Cain came with his brother Abel to the altar, the same as you're coming up for healing tonight. One man came right in his heart, walking uprightly. The other came in a wrong manner. And as he approached God wrongfully, he did not get the answer to his prayer. The fire did not fall to consume his offering, and he was angry and went out to slay his brother. And he touched the live wire, and God marked him for the balance of his life, that all men should know him from that hour. In Numbers 16:31, a man by the name of Korah and his company began to murmur backbiters against Moses. And he took hold of a live wire. You know, if you backbite God's preachers, God's anointed, it's rather serious. Our God's fellow children. Moses called them all together, all the backbiters, and stood at a distance from them, and then he spoke to them. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah, and all their goods. And the ground closed together again. I wonder if that's what made the Grand Canyon of Arizona. Just something like that. There'll be room to hold a lot of them, brother says, and he certainly is right. Live wire, my God, help us to come right to you. Think of it. In Exodus 19:12-13, where God spoke to Moses on the Mount of Sinai. Now, we're coming up here for healing tonight. We must not come with presumption. We must come with holiness. Moses was told to prepare his heart to come believing, to come in purity from after purifying himself. Seek the Lord with all his heart. And the Lord said, don't touch this mountain, anybody else that isn't purified. Don't let the cattle touch it. Don't let the children touch it. Don't let a man or woman touch it. Or they shall not live. Now, what happened to them? They'd be electrocuted. They'd get hold of a live wire. He said, well, sister, you mean to tell me that if I came up for divine healing, that it means that much? I thought it was just simply if I wasn't ready, I wouldn't get my healing. Brother, it might be far worse than that. If the church ever comes back to the old-time Holy Ghost power where you can't lie to the Holy Ghost, it'll be live wire beware. Now, Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, came one time, and they offered strange fire. Do you remember that? And as they offered this fire before the Lord, they came up, in other words, with hypocrisy. Oh, we believe in God. We're one of your people, and sure, we're living the life, and they weren't. They offered strange fire. You can tell it the minute people testify, and it isn't right, hasn't the ring. And you know what happened? They were electrocuted. The live wire, beware. The fire of God, now I'm reading from Leviticus, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2. The fire from the altar of the Lord leaps out and devours them. It's like a bit of paper. Brother, wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us who come up for healing tonight could really come with a pure heart? And then if our God is a consuming fire and we are a flame of fire, glory to God, we're merely melting and merging and meeting with our own and we're healed. Glory to God, and he burns the trace of disease out. And if it is true that our God is fire, would we be a little careful how we come to him for healing? If we offer strange fire, and the fire leaps out of the altar and will burn us here and there. Makes me kind of think, doesn't it, you? Lord, send the old-time power. It's just what I need for today. Now, of course, you're jumping ahead of me thinking there, for I'm talking to Bible students tonight. You're saying, I hope she mentions Uzzah. And I'm going to. That's the man who tried to steady the ark, quenching the power of the Holy Ghost. For the ark is a symbol of the Holy Ghost power. And As they moved the ark shook. Brought in for the Pentecostal power is, there's bound to be somebody shaking. Somebody's going to break out and get the glory. A lot of people may sit there like icebergs. Just as cold and dead as they can ever be. My, I wish you could see some of yourselves. You see, some of you look like you had a stiff neck. You haven't moved for 10 minutes. Here you just sit. Why, brother, loosen up. Let the glory strike you. But you know, poor old user, he never had the power himself, and he didn't want anybody else to have it. Kind of a dog in the manger fellow. And when he saw this ark shaking and everybody dancing and praising the Lord, he said, whoa, this isn't right to have this thing shaking so in the power of God. You steady this thing. And he touched a live wire. He was electrocuted and fell dead. Brother, quench not the Holy Ghost. If you begin to pray and the power falls on you, just let go. Hallelujah. Let the fire fall. Now take the three Hebrew children. Speaking of live wires, they were on fire for God. Their hearts were pure. And when they were put in the furnace, nothing hurt them because they were in their own element. They were in the God who was a consuming fire, and they could walk in the fire. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, how can one endure persecution? Why, brother, if the Lord is in us, glory to Jesus, we shall walk and we shall not fall. Amen. But the men who put the three Hebrew children in the fire, the ones who picked them up and threw them in, had to come so close to the door, and the fire was so hot, they were electrocuted. The wire, live wire, beware. Fire jumped out and just burned them from head to foot, like the piece of paper that you ever toss over the top of Mount Vesuvius or Mount Etna, one of these volcanoes, is gone in a moment. And so with Daniel, when he was put in with the lions, in Daniel 6:24, he was not eaten. Praise God, he was on fire for God. Amen. And the lions just looked at him on fire for God and knew he was left alone. So he would cool off, and he didn't cool off. And in the morning they took him out. And then they put the men. Every bone of their body was broken before they touched the floor, as the lions were released. Jumping over to the New Testament, the Bible's so full of this. Once you get started along any train of thought, isn't the Bible a wonderful book? Take Ananias and Sapphira, for example. They're well-known object lessons. And they are hypocrisy, or pretending to be in church or a healing meeting or any place or something you're really not in your heart. And they said, oh, we're very particular to always pay our tithes to the Lord. And we give our offerings in advance. And then they said, everybody else is getting a lot of credit here. Let's go sell our little piece of property and we'll deed this in to the early church here and help make the work go around the world. And after they had a good price for the land, the Lord blessed them in selling it. And they promised they didn't have to put it in. Only they told God they'd do it. Once you tell God you're going to do a thing, then I think it's worse than bad luck not to do it, don't you? I think it's dire calamity. And after they saw the money, old Ananias got itchy fingers. And he said, Sapphira, old girl, what do you say if we just hold out half this money or a third of it? They'll never know it. And I'll walk down the aisle of the church and I'll say, look what I'm giving to the Lord. Me and my wife. You know the old story? See what we've given to the Lord. My all is on the altar. And when they said that, they were electrocuted. You know, that first the husband and then the wife and the feet of one were no sooner out bearing the man than the woman was carried out too. Say, friends, the point of my sermon is this. We have not come to a dead God of stone or clay. We have come to a God who is a God of the Bible. The God who is back of his promises. The God who can break every fetter. The God who can save and heal. The God who's alive and he's here tonight. And if we'll approach him in the right way, we shall be blessed. Amen. Paul, who was then called Saul, rode on the Damascus road. He pretty nearly was electrocuted, although he was sincere in his heart. That's the only thing that saved him. He was going down to Damascus to mop up the whole band of Christians in their own blood. God's power struck him. Something like that time I touched the... I hadn't better do an experiment here. Touched the electric socket, took hold of the microphone, and I was thrown to the floor. God's power touched him. And he fell. And he heard and he saw a great light and Jesus speaking, "Why persecutest thou me?" So he said, "Who art thou?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." You know the story. How God wonderfully saved him through Christ. I've always loved that story. I couldn't finish the sermon without referring to Acts 19:13. I see my Bible students making copious notes there. I think the Bible has the funniest stories in it, and the most tragic, but I like to laugh. Do you like to laugh? Some of you look like you didn't laugh very often. Your mouth turned up a little bit. The Bible has some of the things just make me roar and laugh. I love it. I can read them over and over and over. Well, I found my life in this book. Praise the Lord. Take this story. It wasn't very funny for the people, I guess, but I think it's funny anyhow. Acts 19:13, you know. There's certain vagabond Jews, exorcists, they were spiritualists of that day, took upon them to call over those that had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of the man." And the evil spirit in this fellow said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And jumped on them, and tore off all their clothes, and sent them screaming and running, lickety-cut up the road naked, screaming at the top of their voice. Say, they touched a live wire. Friends, there is a power of God, and there's a power of the devil. And I believe if we meet God, God will meet us tonight. Let's look for just a closing moment on the other side. 2 Kings 20:3-5. Hezekiah, when absolutely given up to die, the preacher came and said goodbye. All he had to do was a few more pumps to his heart and be gone. Called on the Lord. Now, Lord, I believe, heal me. Raise me up. Give me life. You said, "Long life shall I satisfy thee." Show thee my salvation. As he plugged in the proper spirit, the Lord let his power go through him. He said, "I'll add 15 years to your life." He said, "Well, when your time comes to die, you'll die." "Oh, I don't know. I don't see any Bible for that. God can lengthen your life if you're worth living. Some of you, it wouldn't matter if you were dead anyhow. But if you're doing something that's really important for God, God can..." Did you ever see the man measure off ribbon at the ribbon counter? I love to see the measure off bolts of goods. Don't you like to buy goods just to see him go flip, 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 flip? And I just think that's what the Lord did. He said, "How much more would you like? 15 years? 15 more yards? Just a moment. Flip, 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 flip." There you go. 15 years. There you go. And so he lived 15 years. Went up to the house of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Get a hold of the live wire. Now, Enoch got hold of the wire, but friend, he had the power of God. And he was not, for God just lifted him right up and took him home to glory. The lame man at the gate, beautiful, who'd never walked in all his life, and his legs were just withery little old limp, like a pocket handkerchief, appendages. The Lord healed him as Peter took hold of his hand. And he was raised up and instantly made whole. Take the widow of Nain, the widow's son, when Jesus passed by, and he was being carried on a litter, much like you'll see Lazarus Tuesday night, the body of Lazarus being buried. Jesus met him and took the son by the hand and said, "I say unto thee, arise." Oh, say, put your hand up a minute, will you, everybody? Just imagine Jesus could reach hold. Take now, shut your hand. Shut your hand. Take hold of the hand of Jesus right now. Lord, may we come with a pure heart. May we come with clean lives. May we really take hold of God. Lord, you took hold of that son and raised him up. Even as Peter took hold of the hands of Dorcas and raised her up to life. Lord, we take your hand. Know us. Try us. If there is any evil way in us, for thy glory. And right now, I'm going to ask everyone here that's assisting me present. I might lie to man, but I'm not going to lie to the Holy Ghost. Sister, I'm not all I should be. Who shall stand in the presence of God? He that hath a pure heart. He that walketh uprightly. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. So forth. Sister, I want God to start a revival in my soul. I want to be like Jesus, and I'd like prayer right now. Don't you want a prayer answered? Have you loved ones you want saved?
Do you need money to run your life with? Do you need a health? Have you something you're wanting from God? You can have it. But friends, the reason we ask and have not is because we ask amiss or in the wrong way, wrong connection. It's a wonder we haven't been burned up. Live wire is our God. Beware. How many here says, "Sister, I want to be like Jesus"? Put your hand up. "Sister, I know my life isn't all I want it to be, and I want it to be." Put your hands up. I'm not even going to look at you. Everybody put your hands up now. Will you all stand up and let me pray with you? Everybody rise, all over the building. Sister, I want to be like Jesus. And your sermon has touched me tonight, sister. Your sermon has touched me. I realize that God is a great power. Well, there's multitudes here. I couldn't ask you forward. I think almost everybody in the whole temple's up. So let's all pray out loud. Radio Land, join me now. Put your hands up and pray out loud. Don't just repeat after me. Everybody talk to God. Everybody pray. Everybody pray all over the whole building. Oh, Lord, purify and cleanse our hearts. Wash us with the precious blood. Lord, let the power fall. Let the glory of God go through every heart. Jesus, let the blood cleanse away our every stain. Forgive us our trespasses. Give us clean hearts, pure hands. Take out the backbiting. Take out the hypocrisy. Take out all that is unlike Jesus. Take out vanity. Take out false profession. Let us be born of God and cleansed afresh. Everyone out, if not a Christian, give your heart to Jesus.